Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Read with me in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 13. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 13. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That's Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 13. And in that passage, the Lord describes what happens when His word is sent out. And notice, He's not just talking about what people say that God said. He's talking about my word that goeth forth out of my mouth in verse 11. God is talking about His scripture that is given by inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you understand what that is? What people will say that God told those who wrote what to write. Now, I believe that. I believe they wrote down what God wanted them to write. I believe that. But this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, is not saying that. This verse is saying that if you have Scripture, God gives you that Scripture by inspiration. And you may have heard me talk about this before, but the word inspiration only appears one other time in your Bible in Job 32:8. There is a spirit in man, and the spirit of the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Inspiration is for understanding. Inspiration is not for transmission, to write down what he said. It's not for dictation. It's to help you understand what you're reading. So scripture, if you have it, and I believe we do in the King James Bible, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So what makes the Bible profitable, what makes the scripture profitable, is that God is giving it to you by inspiration. In other words, you don't have to depend upon your scholarship, your education, your intellect to be able to understand it. You have to depend upon God. He gives it to you. After all, Peter and James, when they're preaching in the book of Acts, the Pharisees, the scribes, the elders, the chief priests say of them, they are ignorant and unlearned men. Well, that's fine. You can be ignorant and you can be unlearned as long as God is giving you His scripture by inspiration, you see? So God's not talking in Isaiah chapter 55 about what somebody said that God said, what people say that God said. He's talking about what He said. And God is talking about his scripture, the scripture that's given by inspiration. And there is often a big difference between what God said in the King James Bible and what the translators of other Bibles profess that he said. Now, listen, when God sends his word out, it accomplishes what he pleases, but it's got to be his word. My word that goeth forth out of my mouth, he said. Now, in this passage in Isaiah chapter 55, he likens his word to rain, and he likens his word to snow that water the earth, make it bring forth and bud, and produce seed for sowing and bread for eating. That's what he said. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see that? And he likens it in verse 10 to rain, as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. That's what rain and snow do. And the word of God, likewise, has fruitfulness. It does something. It descends from heaven and it brings forth fruit. Now, we recognize that the context of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 13, is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You can tell that because in verse 12, Israel goes out with joy and is led forth with peace. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 13, the thorn doesn't come up, the fir tree does. The briar doesn't come up, the myrtle tree does. Back in verse 12, the mountains and hills break forth into singing, and the trees of the field clap their hands. This is the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he is on earth ruling over his own creation. But in spite of the fact that doctrinally this is a passage for the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, we can make spiritual applications from these verses. We can make applications to our lives that illustrate what happens when God's word gets in us, like rain soaks into the soil. So we're going to look at that now and notice some things that happens. God said, so shall my word be. Well, first of all, his word changes your thoughts. His word changes your thoughts. Look here in verses 8 and 9 again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So our thoughts are not like the Lord's thoughts, naturally. Our thoughts are earthly. We think about work. We think about family. We think about recreation. We think about fishing. We think about hunting. We think about harvesting. We think about buying. We think about selling. We think about marrying. We think about giving in marriage. We think about building. We think about tearing down. All the things that people do in the earth. We think about transportation. We think about the need for rest and sleep. We think about nutrition. We think about exercise. All these kinds of things. All of our thoughts are earthly thoughts. And because of that, though we are made by God and originally, in the image of God, and we are the offspring of God, there's no way for us to think like God, not naturally. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just naturally speaking, you know, we're just not cut out to be God or to think like God or to have a mind like God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, he said in Isaiah chapter 55. And that's true because he's higher than we are. But you know, when his word gets in you, your mind changes. And now you have the mind of Christ. In, of course, it's a voluntary submission to that. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So there's a certain humility required for you to be able to think with that mind that God has given you when you get saved. And not only that, you got to have the Word of God in that mind for that mind to think like God. And you get His Word in you. It's not just a matter of being saved. You got to have His Word in you. And when His Word gets in you, now your thoughts are going to change. I mean, when you're little, you think you're big. I mean, as a child, children seem to think they're the center of the universe. Everything revolves around them. But, you know, you get a little older and get in an airplane and you fly. You get up there high and you look down at the earth. You see just how small you are. From an airplane, you can't see the people. They're so small. And you look at pictures from outer space, from the space shuttle or from the International Space Station. Well, you don't see any of it. You don't see the buildings. Of course, they zoom in and you see them, but you don't see the buildings. You don't see the cars. You don't see the people. The Lord said about the nations of the earth, they are as the drop of a bucket. So when you try in your own mind to grasp God or to grasp concepts of God from your perspective, why? You don't come up with anything. He's not at all like men imagine. Just look at the gods that men have made. You know what they do? They make gods like themselves. And they imagine that God is like them. And God is not anything like us. We must have God's revealed truth to understand what God is like. And we only know as much as He has revealed to us. But that revelation comes to us in the words of God. I mean, in other words, you don't have to lay down and have a dream about what God is, or an apparition, or an audible voice. You've got the Word of God. And when you read the words of God, your thoughts change, and suddenly you have a perspective from the Lord's side that is vastly different than what you were thinking about from the earthly side. You start reading that Bible every day and letting that Bible saturate your mind and saturate your thinking, and suddenly you find that you are thinking about things that you didn't think about before you were saved, before you were reading the Bible, and you're thinking about things that you did think about before in a much different way than you were. This world doesn't have nearly the attraction when your thoughts about the world change. I remember after reading the Bible a good bit, I called a friend of mine and I said, "You man, this world is going to hell in a handbasket." He said, "That's evidence." I said, "Evidence? Evidence what? You've been reading your Bible," he said. "You're looking at things differently now than you used to. And things that were important to you that you used to think about aren't important to you anymore. And things that didn't matter to you at all now matter to you extensively. And your thoughts are on those things most of the time. You're meditating now on things that you weren't thinking about before." You know what did that? The Word of God. The Word of God. He says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, that His Word changes your ways. He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So God's ways are higher than our ways. Well, he starts out talking about the thoughts, but look, thoughts are at the root of action. Proverbs says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You think about it long enough, you do it. Well, when God's Word gets in you and your thoughts begin to change, you know what happens? Your life changes also. See, His ways are higher than our ways. And so what he does is different than what we do, but when we get the Bible in us, we start doing things more like he does. We start loving like him. That's what he said to his disciples. He said, I want you to love each other like I've loved you. That's my new commandment, he said. Well, you're incapable of doing that until you have the Word of God in you. When you read in John chapter 15, he said, if my words abide in you, see, what happens is that word gets in there and it starts doing things where your life becomes fruitful in the things of God. We start loving like him. We start loving him and we start loving others like him. We change where we go. Listen, there are places I go now that I didn't want to go when I wasn't saved, and there are places that I used to go when I wasn't saved that I would not dare go now. And it's not only because I shouldn't. The Word has done something to me, and I don't want to go there. The people we hang out with are very different. Your ways change. You know, at first, when you get saved, you want the folks that you've been hanging out with to know about Jesus, but when you start telling them, you find out very quickly most of those friends do not want to stick around with somebody who is trying to get close to God. The unjust is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. They see you and they run. And you know what happens? You start going to church and you start hanging out with God's people and you find them different and better in so many ways, and your friends change. The songs that we sing change. Oh, those have totally changed in my life. The way we conduct business changes. There are principles now that enter into your thinking that come from the Bible, and you run your affairs according to the biblical principles, and suddenly the world may say it's okay to do this and everybody else is doing that, and you look and say, but that's not how God does it, and I'm going to do it the way God does. We change what we talk about. The context of our conversations changes immensely, and often we find ourselves talking about heaven and talking about the Lord and talking about passages of Scripture where all we talked about before were earthly things. We change our interests. We change our affections. We change our desires. We change our goals. We change our aspirations. And it's not us making the change. It's just that so much is coming into us from the Word of God, we change. We love other things. We're interested in other things. We desire other things than we used to. And it's all coming from the heart. It's all coming from the Word of God. And you know why? Because the Lord said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And he gets it in you, and he makes changes in your life. Just like the soil changes and becomes productive when the rain gets into it. His word changes your thoughts. His word changes your ways. His word changes your spirit. Look at verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Well, that's a major, major change. We know what happens. You have joy in you from the Word of God that you didn't have before you got saved. And you won't have after you get saved if you don't get in the Word of God. But if you get in the Word of God, there is a joy that starts building in your heart that changes your emotion. I mean, many of us are emotional, and sometimes our emotions will take us down, but you start getting the joy of the Lord in there, and it's amazing what happens. There's a peace that gets into your heart. And a peace that gets into your mind that even though you're in adversity and even though you are in tribulation, you now have a peace of God, you know, that the world never gave. You have a peace of God that you can't understand. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. It is fruit of the Spirit, and it allows you to go through adversity and tribulation in a supernatural way, by God's grace, by the fruit of the Spirit. Nehemiah is inundated with trouble when he's trying to rebuild the wall, if you'll read that. And the Jews have adversaries, and the Jews are dealing with rubbish, and they're discouraged. And there are people attempting to kill them. And Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Oh, that's true. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know where you get that? From the Word of God. You look at the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and they have made a deal just like they did in Achaia in the Corinthian church to contribute possessions to the needs of the saints that are down in Jerusalem who are going through a terrible dearth. And those Macedonians didn't have anything. They went through a great trial of affliction. They went into deep poverty, and yet they had abundant joy at that time, the abundant joy, and therefore they abounded in the riches of their liberality. You say, how in the world did that happen? Their spirit changed. They got that Word of God in them. That Spirit will change you. That Word will change you, and you'll have joy where you didn't have joy before, and peace where you didn't have peace before. And I'll tell you, you'll have a different view of nature and creation. Now, I don't worship nature, and I don't worship creation. I worship the Creator. But man, I'll tell you what, you know something? The heavens declare the glory of God, right? Psalm 19. And the invisible things of Him are clearly seen by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. You see those things in creation. Well, you just say, I'll tell you what, in spite of the fact that we're in a cursed earth, you look around when you get that Bible in you and you just see God's hand in everything that's going on around you. It wouldn't be here if it weren't for God. He changed your spirit. And that Word also will change your fruit. Isaiah 55, verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Well, during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything down here is going to change. You know, the lion is going to lie down with the ox and the or with the lamb, and the bear is going to lie down with the calf, and children can you know lead the lion and lead the bear. They're not going to attack them and play on the hole of the cockatrice den. That's a snake and not going to hurt them. Everything changes. Why is that? Because the earth, the curse that's on the earth that causes these thorns and thistles and briars to grow, all that's remedied when Jesus Christ is here, and His reign brings up myrtle trees and fir trees. Well, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll change the fruit in your life. Why? Because before you got saved, you were a corrupt tree. But after you got saved, you became a good tree. And for that good tree to bear fruit, you need to get the Word of God in you. And when you get the Word of God in you, you start bearing good fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 through 20, you shall know them by their fruits. He's talking about false prophets. But look at what he says. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No, of course not. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Listen, you get that Word of God in you, and it starts bearing fruit in your life. And listen, the good tree that you are now because of your salvation becomes fruitful. Becomes fruitful. And now there's something happening because of the Word of God in you that is bringing forth fruit to God, a fruit that remains. John chapter 15, you're bearing fruit, much fruit, just like He wants you to. And your fruit remains and it brings glory to God. You say, what kind of fruit is it? The fruit of His righteousness, the fruit of His Word, the fruit of the Spirit. And as a result of that, other people's lives are affected. You're edifying others who, as His children, need to be encouraged, and as those who are lost need to be saved. And what's bringing that forth in your life is the fruit of the Word of God, because His Word does not return void. But what does it do? It accomplishes that which God pleases, and it prospers in the thing whereto He sends it. And only His Word can make these changes. Listen, if you try to make these changes yourself, they'll be artificial. They'll be like artificial fruit on a table, like a table decoration. A beautiful apple on the outside, try to bite into it, you find out you're just biting into wax. God is not interested in the show. He is not interested in you trying to make yourself look like what good fruit looks like. God is interested in the real thing, and only His Word can produce the real fruit, the real change of thoughts, the real change of ways, the real change in your spirit, the real change in your spirit. Only the Word of God can produce it. And He knows whether these changes came from His Word or not, or whether they just came from you trying to conform to the people around you. Now, what do we say? You know what you need to do? You need to get a lot of the Word of God in you without getting puffed up. You know, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. You don't need to be puffed up. You just need to get a lot of the Word of God in you. Like a good rain on the soil, a sufficient amount, you need to get a good amount of moisture from the Word of God in you. You need to get plenty in you. Listen, every day we have a plant that's potted in real good soil, but it doesn't retain the water, so it needs to be watered every day. You need to be watered with the Word of God every day, well watered and nourished, so that your roots in you can become very productive. And then you need to yield to the Word of God in you and yield to the Spirit of God. That is, you need to obey the Spirit of God as He leads you. You need to obey the Word of God as it leads you, and your life will become fruitful. Like the myrtle and fir tree coming up instead of the thorn and the briar. Like the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, He is reigning in your life now. He is now the Lord of your life after you get saved, right? The thing you need is lots of the Word of God in you. Get it in you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.